from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Texans Training Camp, live from the Houston Methodist Training Center. Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop.
Adam Spillane, John Lopez with you from the Methodist Training Center. Aaron Raybould is with us here. Figgy is back in the studio, and it's getting a little windy. Weather is becoming a little questionable now. I can see some rain off in the distance.
We had the lightning alarm go off.
I thought that was like, I thought we were being bombed.
Well, in a sense.
I thought Putin was coming after us.
It's happening.
But we are, day four of training camp is over. We heard from D'Amico Ryans, the Joe Mixon injury, whatever it may be, is not a big deal, according to D'Amico. Good news on that front. We are going to hear from Stephon Diggs in 7 minutes. At 12:10, we'll hear from Stephon Diggs. He talked to the media today. We'll also replay the conversation that we had with Azeez Al-Shaair in about 40 minutes. All right, so day four of camp was today. Day three was Saturday. And so we heard from the coordinators for the first time on Saturday, and a couple of things stood out to me. First, you had Bobby Slowick talking about C.J. Stroud in year two and the improvements that he has seen from Stroud since last season.
Yeah, specifically leadership and command. He's very intentional. He wants to make sure the offense runs through him, the team runs through him as he should, and he's owned that. There's a lot that goes into that. You got to make sure you're always building relationships with the players, with the coaches, with the staff, people all around the building. You got to own the playbook, so at any time, people can ask you questions, you can facilitate conversations, and then, you know, just you got to be willing when we're on the field to demand the best of everybody. You know, you got to be another coach, and he's really lived up and wants to continue to exceed all those expectations, and that really to me has been his number one focus.
And it's been very, very clear on the field and otherwise. But as we go down and hear from these coordinators, Adam, you know, something is really, really sort of developing from the coaches as a group that I want to get to, because like the confidence that players have in coaches and vice versa, and we're going to hear from Matt Burke as well, the confidence and simplicity that they have in the defense called by Burke and D'Amico Ryans kind of leads to something that this team this Texans organization has never really had. And I want to get to that in just a second.
All right. Also, Slowick was asked about John Mechie. And Mechie so far has probably been one of the standouts of camp. Really, he's healthy right now, and I think that matters more than anything. We heard from Tank Dell on Friday, just rave about what he's seen from Mechie. But here's Bobby Slowick on why Mechie seems to be so much better now than last year.
Yeah, I mean, he's in much better football shape, right? And that's to be expected. What he went through, I mean, that was, what, 2 years? He couldn't do a football workout, you know? And then he all of a sudden rolls onto the field last year, and he just has to go roll. Like, that's really, really difficult. I think it's a credit to him as a person that he was able to do even what he did last year. And then now he was able to have an off season, spring, a summer, a fall, to really kind of get back into football shape, be where he wants to be physically. And then obviously second year in the system for everybody mentally has really slowed everyone down, calmed everyone down in that regard. So he's able to just go play football. And that's when John Mechie's at his best, is when he can just go play football, do what he loves, and he doesn't have to worry about all the stuff he's been worrying about for 2-3 years now. It's been really fun to watch.
And so remember, Mechie, if you weren't aware, tore his ACL at Alabama, his last game in the SEC championship game, and then he battled leukemia.
Yeah.
And now he is, what, more than a year removed from leukemia treatments. Obviously, he's 2 years removed from the ACL, and you can tell, like, there's a difference.
I don't think we fully appreciate just how difficult it was for him last year. He was on the field. We would you know, criticize his play, or at least comment on his play as he wanted us to. You know, he said, I'm a football player. I want to get past all that other stuff. But nevertheless, it takes a long time for your body to fully I mentioned this earlier. We all know people who have overcome cancer or fought cancer, and we've had conversations with them. And it's like sometimes a year later, 2 years later, they're saying things like, I just don't quite feel like myself. I think we underestimated that because he was out here, and we have to sort of comment on what he's doing. And it wasn't real impressive last year. It is impressive this year, what we're seeing out of John Mechie. Tomorrow's going to be a big test, and then the next 3 days in pads, of course, is going to add to that. But, like, he is impressive right now. And I think, boy, if they can get the John Mechie that they drafted, which, by the way, he might have been drafted higher if it wasn't for the ACL, as you pointed out, then they're really going to be onto something here.
All right, so we also heard from Matt Burke. And we have spent so much of the offseason talking about the Texans' additions on the offensive side of the ball. We spent a lot of time talking about Joe Mixon. We spent a lot of time talking about Stephon Diggs. That, to me, the addition of Danielle Hunter has flown under the radar.
Yeah.
And you look at what Danielle Hunter has done, a four-time Pro Bowler, 16.5 sacks last year for the Vikings. This is an elite-type player. And so here's Matt Burke talking about what has stood out about Hunter so far.
It's funny. I mean, you talk about, like, Will and adding on weight, and he stands next to Danielle, and it's, I mean, you see the length difference. So, like, for a guy that's that long and explosive, it's you almost have to, like, change your, like, perspective, because, like, he's so explosive. He covers so much ground his first two steps. It sometimes doesn't even look like he's launching out, and then you pause the tape, and he's 4 yards in the backfield. You know what I mean? So, like, it's a very, he's done it for a long time. Obviously, he's very natural at doing that and rushing, and just the ground that he can cover and the length he has from an extension standpoint, it's pretty special. He's pretty unique. So excited for him to keep going, for sure.
And this is what I wanted to get to earlier that I mentioned. Like, Bobby Slowick, D'Amico Ryans, Matt Burke, and you can even throw Frank Ross in there, but certainly these three guys, when you hear Danielle Hunter talking much the same way, how simple it is and how they can just go, and then you see what the kind of player he is, like you said, an all-pro. Joe Mixon called this offense night and day different from the Bengals. The Bengals' offense was good. Like, the Bengals' offense was really good, and he says, like, night and day difference. But Sean Pendergast and I were talking on Saturday, and he said this, so I'm stealing it from him, but it's absolutely worth talking about. These coaches are a weapon. Like, that's very rare for your coordinators and your head coach, not just to be good, to create a good environment, good team, personnel, all that stuff. They are weapons that these players can actually thrive under, and I think that's very, very big.
And keeping that group together, year one to year two, matters also, because it's always good to have continuity, and you're trying to keep as much continuity, not just on your roster, but with your coaching staff as you can, especially when you have good coaches. You want to keep good coaches. You want to keep those types of guys in your building. It just makes everybody's life a little bit easier. All right, we heard from we've talked about additions, and we heard from Stephon Diggs during the offseason program, but today is the first time that we have heard from Stephon Diggs during training camp. Here is what he had to say after day 4 of training camp.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The mosquitoes.
Guys, talk about how you were giving them a lot of free game. They really like the advice. Tank was talking about that. How much do you like to pay it forward and just help people pass on some of your knowledge?
Seeing that I got some experience, I think it's just like it's the right thing to do, of course. Got a lot of young guys on this team, a lot of hungry, humble guys. Just not Tank. Oh, damn, excuse me, I just got to practice. I'm a little tired. But not just Tank. Nico, you know, he just got paid and he's still seeking knowledge, still wanting to get better. But I'm just big on everybody kind of falling on the same sword. Like, me being accountable firsthand, I'm not going to be perfect, but let's not ever coach effort, you know what I'm saying, and then technique. So, I mean, it's just, I feel like it's the right thing to do. Not just where I'm at in my career, but just how I've been for a long time. I've always, you know, led from the front. I'm saying front line always, as young Mets say, we were on the front line, so, yeah.
When did you first come to that mindset that you wanted to be? Has it always been? I know you had to take on the big brother role for a long
time. Yeah, it's my whole life.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I guess, like, you know, kind of like around, like, 14, like, when my dad passed away, you kind of learned a lot of sacrifices going in, a lot of, you know, mentorship even from your younger brothers kind of being the man of the house. But as I grew as a young adult until now, you know, just that's always been one of the focus of mine, you know, bringing as many people with me. No matter how much success you have, I always try to bring as many people with you. And, you know, you won't dim your light at all shedding light on anybody else, you know, especially with these days. They're real special. So out here just grinding and competing at a high level is one of my main focuses.
How would you describe this situation? You guys obviously spent some time at the practice working on little things. How
has that relationship kind of grown since camp started?
It's a work in progress. I'm not going to say everything is perfect, but you see us kind of getting on the same page here and there. And, you know, nothing's going to be perfect. You know, I starve for it. We grind for it. But getting on the same page, play after play, and that communication, that open line of communication, I feel like that's going really separated, seeing that we have such a small period of time. But this isn't my first rodeo, and I'm not by no means, can I get that top? I'm by no means reinventing the wheel. You know, this is the same football we've been playing since we were five. And seven is special. I think everybody kind of knows that. I must reiterate it, though, because I see it firsthand, you know what I'm saying, and taking it play after play and building. You know, so it's a work in progress, just answer your question.
Steph, you kind of talked about bringing people along with you. One of the guys is you've gotten conversations after practice with Derek Stingley, Kamari Lassiter. Yeah. Just what does it mean to be going up against those two young cornerbacks, but also why is it important to build on that relationship in the defensive side?
Those are people I'm going to see every day, you know, competing at a high level. I actually think Sting is, and I won't even – you know, shake when I say that. I think he's one of the best DBs in the league, you know what I'm saying? Especially from talent level. And he's fast, he can run, he can break, and he competed at a high level throughout his career. So for me, just going in each and every day with a mindset of getting them better, like not only competing one-on-one, yeah, I want to do you in the worst way, but it's out of love, you know what I'm saying? And even the young Lassner is, as they say, bringing in a guy that's ready. He could be ready, you know what I'm saying? He might even be ready right now. He's a guy that's, you know, takes it day by day, technique, sound, seeking knowledge, and want to compete at a high level, and he ain't running from it. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about junk to him a little bit, you know, just to kind of get him going, and he's right there. He's standing 10 toes down, so something that you like to see in young players is that confidence. So just to see those guys day in and day out, not even just them, just all the DBs. I had a conversation with him like day one and day two that, like, anything y'all need from me, come holler at me. Just like you said, like, I've been this way, you know what I'm saying? As far as, like, this isn't nothing new to me, you know what I'm saying? A lot of people see me for the first time, but I'm trying to get better. I want to be better. I want to be the best me, but I'm bringing as many people as I can with me. Like, those young kids are special. Like, you know, this young team kind of see a lot of potential in, but it kind of starts just in practice.
Have you been able to build a relationship with Rob Johnson yet? If so, how's that? What's his style like?
Yeah, not too much. Not yet. Yeah. But it's coming soon, though.
You and
it's a lot. It's a big team.
You and Cole Beasley were both all pro.
It's my dog.
I talked to him. He said that y'all had like a healthy competitiveness. Yeah. And both were kind of happy for each other when you did well. But he said y'all talk smack back and forth. Yeah. Just healthy competitiveness. Are you gonna? You think you anticipate having that with these guys too?
No, I do this now. Like, right now, you know, it's practice, so it's not many balls going around. But when they are in the air, and it's a healthy competition of I'm open, but who's more open? You know what I'm saying? That's what kind of me and Bees used to do. Like, we were big on separation. Like, I got separation. Like, he got separation. But who's more open? That's who should get the ball. You know what I'm saying? But it was just like a healthy competition. And I think part of being a player that's gotten to this point, it's a healthy paranoia of always wanting to be better. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it's just like that guy on your shoulder saying you're not good enough. You know what I'm saying? So for me, pushing those guys around me is, like, I'm open. You get open. You know what I'm saying? It's healthy, though. You know what I'm saying? I find it, like, positive reinforcement, positive encouragement, positive words. I speak it over myself, and I speak it over those around me. But, you know what I'm saying, I do talk my shit. Excuse me.
We'll do two more.
Coming to a new team, you have to build relationships. I know it's on the field, you dance with the team, you got some handshakes. What is it like building some of that relationship off the field?
Yeah. You just get to know them. Like, knowing a guy on a personal level, spending time with him, the more time you spend with somebody, the more appreciation you have for him. Like, you kind of know a little bit about him, their personality, what pushes them a little bit. Like, I know you bring up Tank, but I can see that Sting is, like, not necessarily nonchalant, but he's a ball player. He ain't on the extra. He don't do too much celebrating. But I had a conversation with him. Like, I'm going to poke at you a little bit because you could tell that, you know what I'm saying, he's had that in him his whole life. He's a dog, 100%, but poking at him a little bit, being like, all right, now, come on, you're going to have to give me a little something. So just building that and getting to know the guys. I mean, it makes for a team camaraderie, as my coaches would say when I was young, and getting to know somebody. You want to play with people that you know. You know what I'm saying? And I can't go out there give you blood, sweat, and tears. I don't know your middle name, so don't quote me, but I'm still learning middle names.
Have you gotten to know Houston better? Does it feel like
Yeah, that? Yeah. I played in two extremely cold places.
Oh.
I imagine being here, this is what hell kind of feels like. You know what I'm saying?
Easy But I ain't complaining. I swear, the food is amazing. I've been trying to eat healthy, but I have a couple cheat days. I won't shout out any restaurants yet, but getting out there and seeing the people, you know, that Southern hospitality is real, and just, you know, the city is a lot of love. So I'm getting to know it a little bit. Highway is still getting tricky, so.
Last one, sorry.
Yeah, I apologize if you've been asked this already. I got here kind of late. What type of relationship have you developed with the wide receivers coach, Ben McDaniels? How much has he helped you get acclimated to this offense?
Great. I spent a lot of time with him. I kind of approach it. I've been here for 10, but I feel like a rookie. Like, for me, like, just going in the meeting room, getting that extra time. Out here, it's not going to be perfect, but I'm a damn sure put the time in when I step outside the line just to be mentally sharp, just so I can play fast. Like, I want to hit the ground running when I come out here, and I want to play with a lot of confidence. You play with confidence by knowing what you got, alignment, assignment, and, you know, just trying to ball. Like, for me, I try not to make football more than what it is, but those people are real key in your success, especially my position coach, you know. He'll know how to push you, too. I told him, like I said earlier, falling on the same sword as everybody else. Even though they've been here, they might got a little bit more knowledge, but coach me how you would coach them, you know. And I'm a little older. I could take it. You know, saying, you might can cuss at me a couple times. So I said, just coach me hard, and I'll meet you on the back end. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Appreciate it.
All right, that was Stephon Diggs live at the podium on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we got Lunchtime Confessions, and I think we might have lost the OG and them. I'm going to see where they at. Keep it locked in the loop on Sports Radio 610.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
All right, we're back. We've got some confessions.
Oh, I got a confession for you.
But first of all, it started pouring out here during the last segment, and I'm not like exaggerating. It was pouring to the point where we had to move everything. And shout out to Aaron Rabel for getting us back on the air in the first place, because we had to unplug everything. We were flying by the seat of our pants there, but Aaron got us back and got us back pretty quickly. So shout out to him. Let's do some confessions.
Let's do it.
These are my confessions.
And that's my first one. I really thought we were going to make it. I thought in my soul we were going to make it. So practice was all cool, very humid, very hot. We could see the radar. We could see the clouds building behind us. We're gonna be out here till about 12:35, and then go into the studio. I thought we were gonna make it, man, and then all hell broke loose. And I want to reiterate, Aaron Rabel looks like a wet sock right now. like every inch of his body is just covered with water. We were actually splashing up to our ankles for a second there with water, but all the equipment looks to be good. We're back on the air. Shout out to one of the best in the business.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
This brain needs to stop because I don't know if I'm going to go back for the end of the show.
You might be on your own.
I'm not walking in the rain with the laptop and the backpack and all that stuff. So we got to chill here because it slowed down a little bit. But it's still coming down pretty good, and that's a long walk we got to make.
We'll suck it up.
I remember, so game one of the World Series against the Phillies, I park in the C lot, and it's just a torrential rainstorm before that game. Ruined my laptop. The water got through the backpack onto the laptop.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no question.
So this has got to stop.
Yeah, it's got to stop. Go ahead, Piggy.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
So as y'all were going through all of that drama just now, I'm sitting here back in the studio noticing how quiet it was. So I'm like, hey, y'all there? Y'all good?
No,
and I see Stephon Diggs in his press conference about to end. I'm like, whoa, I'm going to have to take this to break. So as I was about to take it to break, John Lopez called me, but I couldn't answer because I was –
you were doing business.
Yeah, I was working. And so I tried to call John Lopez back, and this is my confession. This got to be the corniest thing ever, and John Lopez is part of the problem. I called this guy back, and it went straight to voicemail. And his voicemail was, hey, this is John. You know what they do at the beep. Come on,
what's
man.
Wrong with that?
You know what they do at the beep.
Why not? Oh, I'm personable. I want to be making a personal message.
That is the corniest thing.
Do y'all not have personalized Really?
Nah, I think I just said, just call me back and leave a message and I'll call you back. I think that's all.
Nah,
I'm
not. I ain't making no
Most people now just go straight to the automated.
Yeah.
You gotta personalize it.
Nah, man. Just do a, hey, this is John Lopez. Call me back when, you know.
How was your tease going into the segment?
Oh, it was cool. I said lunchtime confessions, and I'm not sure if I got the guys with me. We're going to see when we come back.
We're here.
Well, yeah, that voice, well, you got to change that, man. That's
all right. Cool. I might think about that.
90s.
All right. Watch this. Back to some sports confessions here. I know you've got to be feeling something about this as well, Adam and Figgy. I don't have much confidence in either of our U.S. Olympic basketball teams. If you missed it, the men were favored by 43 points. 43 points to beat South Sudan. Yes, I said South Sudan. They won by a point, and it was actually kind of controversial. And then the women, shout out to Caitlin Clark, she's been killing it, lost to the WNBA teams. Like, both these squads, would you bet on a gold medal for either one right now?
The women will have no
women,
trouble.
Women, 100%. I will bet.
The women will walk through that thing.
I know. Yeah, well, the women are going to heavily.
Who is some foreign women that's going to give them a problem?
Yeah, there is no one. They will sail through.
The men?
The men is going to be tough.
That's tough.
I mean, they'll still win, but the men will still be tough. I mean, obviously, the world has gotten a lot better over the last 20-something years since the year. I guess it's now been 30 years.
Yeah.
32 years since the Dream Team. But they'll still be fine. They can pull out wins whenever they need to. The French team is really good with Wembanyama and Rudy Gobert and some of the guards that they have on that team. But the
WNBA team beating them was just embarrassing.
Yeah, but I mean, that WNBA team are like the next people that just missed out on the Olympic team.
Probably.
It's WNBA All-Stars playing against WNBA All-Stars. That's all that was.
Yeah, but
you tend to have older players that are on the Olympic team just because of, there's just some seniority that comes with that. But no, the U.S. women's team will win every game by at least double digits, and they will walk to a gold medal. The men's team will be pushed a little bit, but that's just because the world is a little bit stronger now.
Yeah, I think they're going to get got, to be honest, man.
I do, too. I honestly do.
The movie Goodfellas, overrated.
What?
Not that great.
Man, get the hell out of here.
When did you just see it?
Yeah, I've been thinking about this for a while. I figured I'd drop this now. But if I had to choose 90s mob movies, I'm taking Casino every time over Goodfellas.
Casino's good.
Casino is so much better than Goodfellas. Better Robert De Niro, better Joe Pesci, and also Karen Hill does not hold a candle to Ginger Rothstein.
Yeah.
Sharon Stone is so much better in that movie than Lorraine
Bracco. But the movie is awesome.
We're glorifying a rat.
Of course.
No.
He wrote the book.
I don't care. I don't glorify rats. Sorry. I'm just not doing it.
Oh, so it's about that.
Since when you've been about the street code, man?
Yeah.
A man has to have a code, Figgy, okay?
Yeah.
And Henry Hill had no code. They glorified him. And I hate it. And it's just not
It's
just not that great of a movie. It's a fine movie. It's perfectly fine. But Casino is so much better.
Good Lord.
And plus, how about this? And spoiler alert for everybody. But the Joe Pesci death scenes in both those movies, the one in Casino is
wild.
So much more brutal. It is so much more brutal than the one in Goodfellas.
Watches his brother.
Yeah, he got it easy in Goodfellas.
He's got it popped in the back of the head.
Whatever. Quick and easy. They buried that man alive with his brother in Casino. I would much rather go the way that he went.
It's a good movie, but I wouldn't say it's...
I would absolutely... Listen, you give me Casino or you give me Goodfellas, it's Casino every time.
Nah, I don't know about that.
Every single time.
Although you stated a good case for it.
Yeah, I acknowledge it because I'm right.
Good, baby. Watch this.
These are my confessions. So I seen the coolest tweet this morning, man. So I saw this tweet from Billy Mays III. I don't know if y'all saw this.
Yeah, I did not.
He tweeted and said, LOL, just got to Pittsburgh and someone left some OxyClean on my dad's grave. I thought that was dope.
Wow.
Man. He actually, if you go to his Twitter, he actually tweeted the picture. It's a cool looking grave too, a tombstone.
But yeah,
I thought that was badass, man.
It's like that people still smoke weed at Jimi Hendrix's grave in Paris.
Yeah.
That's like every day. guys go get high with Jimmy. Nah, I like that. Yeah, that's awesome.
This was super dope, man. Salute to whoever did that, man. That's dope, man. Rest in peace to Billy Mays.
Yes, sir.
He's been dead a while, and I still see one of the infomercials every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think most of them they pulled, but I think there's still one that they show every now and then.
Yeah.
And I bet it's been close to 15 years since he died, too.
Yeah.
2009.
Yeah.
All right, Figgy.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
I swear I'm not like Justin Simmons' agent or related to him or a friend of the family.
Fool me.
I know. I swear I'm not. But you know what I thought when we've been seeing Jalen Petrie kind of playing different positions, up in the nickel, moving around. Matt Burke talked about it. I'm like, okay, yeah, okay, maybe they're thinking along the same lines that Justin Simmons might be a fit eventually. It's still on the street. Still on the street.
How many times have you mentioned Justin Simmons in the last, I don't know, 3 months?
Lots. I care about my team, Adam. I don't know about you.
You've been talking about him since he got released.
Hey, man, don't crucify me for caring about my football team.
I mean, you got to start asking yourself, why is he still available?
But it's got to be up there, right?
I mean, yeah, especially when you consider that they did go in and add to the roster today with Cam Akers, so they certainly are looking for ways to improve.
And Petrie is moving around more.
Yeah, I hope he signs, just so that you don't have to talk about it.
Maybe. Maybe that's the biggest reason.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
So the Astros are starting a series in Oakland tonight, and this is the final series that they will play at the Coliseum. And I'll be honest with you, I'm going to miss the Coliseum.
Mm-hmm.
I went there once. It was a long time ago, so it obviously has deteriorated since. But there's something about games at the Coliseum that I enjoy. You know, you don't get a lot of fans there, but the ones that are there are actually pretty loud, and there's the drums and all that. You know, I like the way it looks. I love the A's jerseys, the green and the gold.
Yeah.
So I'm going to miss the Oakland A's, and I'm going to miss the Coliseum.
I will say the environment is very nostalgic, not necessarily always in a good way, but it's just kind of a nostalgic vibe. You know, that you get there, because it's just not built for baseball, and it's just not good, and it's beat to hell. But it's like, okay, this is where all the old stuff happened. You know, there is something to that.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
So y'all brought it up earlier about the WNBA plan. They had an all-star game, and I got to be honest, I missed it. I kind of wanted to check in on it, but I missed it. But I saw a stat that said that Angel Reese is the first person to have a double-double in the All-Star game since 1999.
Yeah.
And that made me think about, like, hey, is the WNBA All-Star game really that entertaining? Because I realized I watched the All-Star games for dunks.
Yeah.
Like, good passes and dunks. And I'm like, I ain't about to see no dunks in the WNBA All-Star
game.
That's
why their ratings are so low. You're not alone.
Yeah, but I ain't gonna, like, I still didn't see it or nothing like that. But, man, Agumba Wale, she was balling, man. She had the highlight reel of herself in that game. So, I don't know, man.
She's the best Agumba Wale there is.
It is. She's way ahead of her brother. Way ahead of Dari. But I had to confess, man, I don't think I'd be that interested in watching a WNBA All-Star game. Like, I'll watch a regular game.
Yeah.
But just an All-Star game, like, I want to see dunks and fancy passes and passes off the backboard and all that stuff. And you ain't going to see none of that.
Sorry, I'm not interested in any of the
All-Star none of that.
No, sorry. Yeah. Cross out WNBA. Just say I'm not interested in All-Star games.
Yeah.
All right, coming up next on Sports Radio 610, we will replay our conversation with Azeez Al-Shaair, the Texans linebacker. He told a great, great story about Monty Kiffin in that interview. You won't want to miss it. That's next on In the Loop.
It's Texans Training Camp, live from the Houston Methodist Training Center. Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop.
Welcome back to In the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Adam Spillane, John Lopez with you from the Methodist Training Center after day 4 of Texans training camp. A little earlier in the show, we had a chance to talk to Texans linebacker Azeez Al-Shaair, free agent signing from the Texans, who was with DeMeco Ryans in San Francisco. And the first thing we asked him, it was a little bit hot today. Did it feel like training camp?
Oh, man, thanks, guys, for having me. But, yeah, man, it definitely felt like training camp. You got the heat back, you know, reminds me of when I was back in college at FAU, you know, doing training camp in the heat. So it definitely was a grind, but it feels good, man, when you get done and, you know, everybody's working hard and you're just pushing yourself. And you look back on the day and just, you know, you put the work in. So we're just trying to keep stacking days, but it's been good.
And
so,
the grind hasn't hit yet either, yeah, where it really hits you about midway through, right?
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, it's always that. You first get in the building, everybody's super excited, you know, ready to show off what they've been doing, you know, during the off season, during the time away, 40 days away. And then, you know, just slowly start to build up that callus little by little by little. So we just, like I said, taking it one day at a time.
So you played for D'Amico Ryans in San Francisco. He was a position coach. He was a coordinator. Mm-hmm. What has been different about D'Amico Ryans, the head coach, so far?
I think, honestly, that's what I just think makes him kind of special. He's been the same guy, you know, and then that's something that I've known. You know, I've only known him for the last 6 years. But then you talk to people when I get here or people that's known him, you know, since he was a player, and they say he was the same guy. So I think that's what makes him such a special coach, and that's why he's well respected around the league and just, you know, around day-to-day people that know him or been around him, you know, any of his life. So I think it's just pretty cool, you know, seeing him in that role. I laugh a lot of the times in some of the meetings and stuff, just being around him so much, you know, his mannerisms, you know how he is. So I just might see like a little facial expression he makes or something like that, where he like might be trying to hold in a certain emotion or something. I just start laughing at him because I know he understands, you know, what it's like to be a leader amongst men, and now at the highest level, at the highest position as a head coach. You know, I think it just is fitting for the type of person he is.
I mean, that's why you're here, right? I mean, I know there's a number of reasons why you're here, but the familiarity, you said he knows you, you know him. And exactly. And just watching the first three, you know, four practices now, it seems like you're just so comfortable in this environment. Is that true?
Without a doubt. You know, I think that's one.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Good, baby.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
So I seen the coolest tweet this morning, man. So I saw this tweet from Billy Mays III. I don't know if y'all saw this.
Yeah, I did not.
He tweeted and said, LOL, just got to Pittsburgh and someone left some OxyClean on my dad's grave. I thought that was dope.
Wow.
He actually, if you go to his Twitter, he actually tweeted the picture. It's a cool looking grave too, a tombstone.
But yeah,
I thought that was badass, man.
It's like that people still, they smoke weed at Jimi Hendrix's grave in Paris.
Yeah.
That's like every day. Guys go get high with Jimmy. I like that. Yeah, that's awesome.
This was super dope, man. Salute to whoever did that, man. That's dope, man. Rest in peace to Billy Mays.
Yes, sir.
He's been dead a while, and I still see one of the infomercials every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think most of them they pulled, but I think there's still one that they show every now and then.
Yeah.
And I bet it's been close to 15 years since he died, too.
Yeah.
2009.
Yeah.
All right, Figgy. I swear I'm not like Justin Simmons' agent or related to him or a friend of the family.
Fool me.
I know. I swear I'm not. But you know what I thought when we've been seeing Jalen Petrie kind of playing different positions, up in the nickel, moving around. Matt Burke talked about it. I'm like, okay. Yeah, okay, maybe they're thinking along the same lines that Justin Simmons might be a fit eventually. It's still on the street. Still on the street.
How many times have you mentioned Justin Simmons in the last... I don't know, 3 months.
Lots. I care about my team, Adam. I don't know about you.
You've been talking about him since he got released.
Hey, man, don't crucify me for caring about my football team.
I mean, you got to start asking yourself why he's still available.
But it's got to be up there, right?
I mean, yeah. Especially when you consider that they did go in and add to the roster today with Cam Akers, so they certainly are looking for ways to improve.
And Petrie is moving around more.
Yeah. I hope he signs, just so that you don't have to talk about it.
Maybe. Maybe that's the biggest reason. Watch this.
These are my confessions. So the Astros are starting a series in Oakland tonight, and this is the final series that they will play at the Coliseum. And I'll be honest with you, I'm going to miss the Coliseum.
Mm-hmm.
I went there once. It was a long time ago, so it obviously has deteriorated since. But there's something about games at the Coliseum that I enjoy. You know, you don't get a lot of fans there, but the ones that are there are actually pretty loud, and there's the drums and all that. You know, I like the way it looks. I love the A's jerseys, the green and the gold.
Yeah.
So I'm going to miss the Oakland A's, and I'm going to miss the Coliseum.
I will say the environment is very nostalgic, not necessarily always in a good way, but it's just kind of a nostalgic vibe. You know, that you get there, because it's just not built for baseball, and it's just not good, and it's beat to hell. But it's like, okay, this is where all the old stuff happened. You know, there is something to that. Watch this.
These are my confessions. So y'all brung it up earlier about the WNBA plan. They had an all-star game, and I got to be honest, I missed it. I kind of wanted to check in on it, but I missed it. But I saw a stat that said that Angel Reese is the first person to have a double-double in the All-Star game since 1999.
Yeah.
And that made me think about, like, hey, is the WNBA All-Star game really that entertaining? Because I realized I watched the All-Star games for dunks.
Yeah.
Like, good passes and dunks. And I'm like, I ain't about to see no dunks in the WNBA All-Star
game.
That's
why their ratings are so low. You're not alone.
Yeah, but I ain't gonna, like, I still didn't see it or nothing like that. But, man, Agumba Wale, she was balling, man. She had the highlight reel of herself in that game. So, I don't know, man.
She's the best Agumba Wale there is.
It is. She's way ahead of her brother. Yeah, way ahead of Dari. But, I had to confess, man, I don't think I'd be that interested in watching the WNBA All-Star game. Like, I'll watch a regular game.
Yeah.
But just the All-Star game, like, I want to see dunks and fancy passes and passes off the backboard and all that stuff. And you ain't going to see none of that.
Sorry, I'm not interested in any of the
All-Star none of that.
No, sorry. Yeah. Cross out WNBA. Just say I'm not interested in All-Star games.
Yeah.
All right, coming up next on Sports Radio 610, we will replay our conversation with Aziz Al-Shaair, the Texans linebacker. He told a great, great story about Monty Kiffin in that interview. You won't want to miss it. That's next on In the Loop.
It's Texans Training Camp, live from the Houston Methodist Training Center. Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop.
Welcome back to In the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Adam Spillane, John Lopez with you from the Methodist Training Center after day four of Texans training camp. A little earlier in the show, we had a chance to talk to Texans linebacker Azeez Al-Shaair, free agent signing from the Texans, who was with D'Amico Ryans in San Francisco. And the first thing we asked him, it was a little bit hot today. Did it feel like training camp?
Oh, man, thanks, guys, for having me. But, yeah, man, it definitely felt like training camp. You got the heat back, you know, reminds me of when I was back in college at FAU, you know, doing training camp in the heat. So it definitely was a grind, but it feels good, man, when you get done and, you know, everybody's working hard and you're just pushing yourself. And you look back on the day and just, you know, you put the work in. So we're just trying to keep stacking days, but it's been good.
And
so,
the grind hasn't hit yet either, yeah. Where it really hits you about midway through, right?
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, it's always that. You first get in the building, everybody's super excited, you know, ready to show off what they've been doing, you know, during the off season, during the time away, 40 days away. And then, you know, just slowly start to build up that callus little by little by little. So we just, like I said, taking it one day at a time.
So you played for D'Amico Ryans in San Francisco. He was a position coach. He was a coordinator. Mm-hmm. What has been different about D'Amico Ryans, the head coach, so far?
I think, honestly, that's what I just think makes him kind of special. He's been the same guy, you know, and then that's something that I've known, you know, I've only known him for the last 6 years. But then you talk to people when I get here or people that's known him, you know, since he was a player, and they say he was the same guy. So I think that's what makes him such a special coach, and that's why he's well respected around the league and just, you know, around day-to-day people that know him or been around him, you know, any of his life. So I think it's just pretty cool, you know, seeing him in that role. I laugh a lot of the times in some of the meetings and stuff, just being around him so much, you know, his mannerisms, you know how he is. So I just might see like a little facial expression he makes or something like that, where he like might be trying to hold in a certain emotion or something. I just start laughing at him because I know he understands, you know, what it's like to be a leader amongst men, and now at the highest level, at the highest position as a head coach. You know, I think it just is fitting for the type of person he is.
I mean, that's why you're here, right? I mean, I know there's a number of reasons why you're here, but the familiarity, you said he knows you, you know him. And yes, and just watching the first three, you know, four practices now, it seems like you're just so comfortable in this environment. Is that true?
Without a doubt. You know, I think that's one of the big factors in me coming here is just when you know somebody and you know what it's like going to war with them, you know, mm-hmm. Their intensity, the mindset, you don't have to second guess it. So it just makes it a little bit easier with that transition. You know, same thing with playing with a guy like Jimmy Ward, who was with me since I was a rookie in San Francisco as well. You know, I come in and familiar voice. I know what type of communicator he is. I know where he's going to be. I understand the scheme. He understands the scheme. So it just makes the transition a lot easier. So. Yeah. Without a doubt.
Azeez Al-Shaair joining us here on Sports Radio 610. I want to talk about this defense and the guys that you have on the field with you, especially on the ends, Will Anderson and Daniil Hunter. What has stood out about them so far?
Oh, man, they're just workhorses. You know, I sit next to Daniil in the locker room. We got lockers next to each other, so we talk every single day. And Will is, like, right down from us, but me and him talk same every single day. And they're just always working, man, taking care of their bodies. You would think Will was in his sixth year. The way he takes care of himself reminds me a lot of how Nick Bosa just came in when we were rookies. Me and him were in the same rookie class, and I think he was just as pro-ready as I've seen, you know, since being in the league. And, you know, you look at a guy like Will who's only in year two, and you wouldn't know he was in year two. So you just see the consistent work showing up, grinding, just from both of those guys. So it's definitely it shows why, you know, Daniil is in year 10 and mm-hmm. had all the success he's had. And it also shows, you know, why Will, as a rookie, had so much success early on as well.
You know, a lot of people are making a big deal about the new rule with the kickoffs. I want to ask you about the hip drop. Mm-hmm. Like, that's got to be, like, what has been the adjustment? I mean, what are your thoughts on the whole thing, the hip drop tackle, as they talk about?
I mean, I don't know. For me, I try not to. If a guy is dragging me, then they're probably not in a good position. But just playing football, I think you never know. Like, we just teach, like, scratching, clawing. You're just trying to get the guy down. I don't think anybody, from my knowledge, from the history of playing with football with anybody I've ever played with, has ever intentionally said, I'm going to drop and hit this guy in his ankle and try to break his...
Like, but it's on your mind?
No. That's the whole point. Like, it's not on nobody's mind at all. So it's like, now, you know, it's the same thing with, like, the quarterback rules. It's a weird ticky-tacky thing where now it's on your mind. So I guess, like, it just makes it harder and harder to play defense in this league. But that's why, you know, you got to respect good defense in this league because they just make it harder and harder every year. Mm-hmm. I, you know, they say fans don't come to watch defense. They come to see offense and score points. But I think, honestly, defense is what helps you win a championship. Obviously, you got to have a great offense, but you got to have good defense as well. And so, yeah, I mean, I think it's just a challenging thing, but just something you got to constantly just train and train to tackle the right way and wrap and getting the guys down the right way and, you know, just kind of take care of itself.
Mm-hmm. Azeez Al-Shaair joining us on Sports Radio 610. You're with Tennessee last year. So you played the Texans twice. What stood out? And you saw them at the end of the season. Both games were at the end of the season. So what stood out to you about them when you were playing against them and preparing for those games?
You could just see the DNA, the imprint that DeMeco coming over there. You know, because they already had players. Like, this is the NFL. So, think about every single year. I don't care what team you're on, whether it's a 0-17 team or 17-0. Like, the talent difference is very, very minimal. But, you know, it's the best of the best players all across the league. Spread it out. This isn't like college where you got Alabama and then, you know, some other school. That's just, this is not that. So, I think you just click on the tape and you just see the way that they're getting to the ball, the way they're playing. Even if you don't know scheme, if you just watch the effort, the mentality, and that's what pretty much stood out, you know, offense, defense, and their special teams. So I think that was just like a cool thing to see from afar, you know, when you might be cross-referencing film and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's not cool when you're playing against them and you're watching it on the field, but from afar, just to see, you know, the DNA and the mentality that DeMeco brought over here with the players that they already have and then adding the players that they just got over last year and, you know, just seeing how it all started to gel together. So you could see it coming together for sure.
And what about the Texans and Titans rivalry? Because it picked up big time here with all the uniform stuff and all that. Did the intensity raise as much on that end, and did Callan Hanna tell you to forget everything you ever knew about Tennessee when you got here?
Yeah, I was just talking to him earlier, man, and I was just telling him because in the offseason, you know, I played there last year in Tennessee, and it played with a great group of guys. You know, one thing, this is a business, but it's a brotherhood. When you play in the NFL, I don't care if you strap up with somebody for 3 weeks. You know, it's just like it's a fraternity that you can't buy your way into. So, you know, it's always love and respect throughout the league and for the guys. But definitely, I think fans take it so much harder than us, and we're the ones that actually put on the helmets.
Yeah.
So it was funny because I was training in the offseason wearing the Oilers helmet on purpose. Just giving them a hard time.
Here?
Yeah, I wore it back home in Florida when I was training.
Oh, Lord.
So all the people in Tennessee, when I would post it, were giving me a hard time and they were just like, oh, man.
So it's Houston, right?
That's my point. I'm like, it's the Houston Oilers. I don't know. You know, I'm just giving them a hard time because initially, like, I knew about the rivalry a little bit, but it was only because my little brother was always a Titans fan, random as heck, but he loved Chris Johnson, so because he played running back, so he was always a Titans fan. So that's the only reason why I knew a little bit about like that Oiler rivalry thing. And so then when I got to Tennessee and they started talking about it, it's like, dang, like this is serious. They really hate each other. So then it's just honestly something I did in the offseason just to mess around.
So you got a little funny side too.
Yeah, but without a doubt. I'll try to keep it light.
Azeez Al-Shaair joining us on Sports Radio 610. All right, you come in as an undrafted guy. Mm-hmm. So that's not easy to do, to make your way and have the career that you have had. What is the key, and who are some of the maybe undrafted guys that we aren't talking about right now that have really shown you something so far, either in the offseason or so far in camp?
Yeah, I mean, I think the key is, like, you have to come in and you got to just, one, obviously you got to work. And I think a big part of anybody's job and anything that you're doing is you got to work, but you also have to have, you know, unwavering confidence and belief in yourself. But you get the confidence through the work and through learning and growing. You know, when I was a rookie, I came in and I learned from everybody. I didn't care if you were a wide receiver, if you were a six-year guy who I never even heard of, you know, but you got to, I tell the guys coming in now, you got a guy like Neville Hewitt. He's in year 10.
Yeah.
And he was also undrafted. And I sit there and tell the guys who coming in the linebacker room, like, look, you looking at me because I'm, you know, the multi-million-dollar linebacker, and it's like, bro, longevity looks different in the NFL. And everybody might not reach that type of pinnacle, but when you talk about 10 years in the NFL, it's hard to get three. So for a guy like Neville, you know, got so much respect for him as a player, and 10 years in the NFL is insane. So, you know, I tell the guys, hey, you can learn from somebody like that just as much as you can learn from somebody like me.
Yeah.
So it's just being open and accepting knowledge from everybody, regardless of position or, you know, the status on the team. And just showing up every day, you know, with that confidence and that belief in yourself, trying to get better every single day.
All right, I got a really important question for you.
What's
your name? Reading about you this morning coming in, I was like, reading some stories that you've always been very careful with your money, smart with your money, et cetera. And you apparently, tell me if this is wrong, you became something of a Walmart and Target aficionado. Is that correct?
Oh, my God. That's my first 2 years in the league, yeah, that was like 1,000% correct. I didn't care. I would come to the games with like the team issue stuff every day. And they would give me a hard time. I know Kyle Juszczyk, you know, that's my brother, but we used to sit next to each other, and he would always be like, bro, go to the store. Go buy something for yourself. And then I rode a bike my first 2 years in the league.
Yeah, I heard about it. Silver bike?
Yep. I remember Johnny Holland took me to go get that bike in the summertime, my rookie year. So I rode a bike for the first 2 years of my career. And definitely that's not the case now, I'll say. Still smart with my money, but graceful and blessed enough to make a lot more
money. So Walmart or Target? Pick a side.
I think I'm more bougie now. I like Target, man. Target, my mama calls it Tarjay.
Of course.
So,
of course.
And I think Target is where you go if you're feeling bougie. You feel like you just got, you know, your money just hit the account. Target. On the back end of the month.
I can relate.
You know what I'm saying? The back end of the month, you go to Walmart, try to get all the deals.
Yeah.
All right, last thing before we get you out of here. You played at FAU for Lane Kiffin. Mm-hmm. Give me a Lane Kiffin story.
Oh, man, you got a million Lane Kiffin stories. You know, shoot, I'll give you a Monty Kiffin story.
Okay,
you know,
that's
R.I.P. to Monty.
Yes.
You know, somebody who I genuinely love and respect so much. You know, respect their entire family. And it was heartbreaking, you know, to know what happened to him and hear about him passing away. But I never forget, we were sitting in the office one day in the summertime when the players didn't have to be in there, but I was always up there, and he was always up there. He loved football. Obviously, everybody knows that. And we just sitting there watching film. It was a Jacksonville Jaguars, just looking at all that old cover two stuff that he helped create.
Tampa 2.
Exactly. Yeah. And I just remember we sitting there chopping it up. We talking, and I'm just telling him about all my aspirations to get to the NFL, make it in the league. And I remember he had his Super Bowl ring from Tampa. And we sitting there. It was the most, like, it was very intense conversation, like very emotional, I guess. And we started crying. We got so deep into the conversation with each other. I'll never forget. He took off his Super Bowl ring, and he gave it to me. And I had that Super Bowl ring for my junior year of college. I wore it every game, like, to the walk. I had it all the way until my rookie year, the week of the Super Bowl. I went to Super Bowl as a rookie in San Francisco. We played in Miami. I remember that. But we getting down there is when I gave him back his ring.
Damn.
But it was just one of the coolest things. Cause that's somebody, I'm from Tampa,
yeah,
and know who he is, and then to be around him, and he's like family to me. His whole family is like family to me. So it just was like just the coolest thing. So, you know, I really just, you
that's
know,
an endorsement.
Without yes. a doubt. Without a doubt.
That's
just
an endorsement.
Just have so much respect and love for him, and you know, definitely miss him for sure.
We all do.
Aziz, thank you so much for joining us. Have a great season. Best of luck the rest of camp.
Thank you, guys. Nice to meet you, too.
Yeah. You, too.
That's Aziz Alshayer, Texans linebacker, joining us here on In the Loop on Sports Radio 610 after day four of Texans training camp. That was our conversation with Texans linebacker Aziz Alshayer. Coming up next on In the Loop, we will go around the NFL, and we have one quarterback controversy already forming in the NFC North. That's next on Sports Radio 610. Aziz Alshayer joining us on Sports Radio 610. All right, you come in as an undrafted guy. Mm-hmm. So that's not easy to do, to make your way and have the career that you have had. What is the key, and who are some of the maybe undrafted guys that we aren't talking about right now that have really shown you something so far, either in the offseason or so far in camp?
Yeah, I mean, I think the key is, like, you have to come in and you got to just, one, obviously you got to work. You know, I think a big part of anybody's job and anything that you're doing is you got to work, but you also have to have, you know, unwavering confidence and belief in yourself. But you get the confidence through the work and mm-hmm. through learning and growing. You know, when I was a rookie, I came in and I learned from everybody. I didn't care if you were a wide receiver, if you were a six-year guy who I never even heard of, you know, but you got, I tell the guys coming in now, you got a guy like Neville Hewitt. He's in year 10.
Yeah.
And he was also undrafted. And I sit there and tell the guys who coming in the linebacker room, like, look, you're looking at me because I'm, you know, the multi-million-dollar linebacker, and it's like, bro, longevity looks different
yes.
in the NFL. And
yes.
Everybody might not reach that type of pinnacle, but when you talk about 10 years in the NFL, it's hard to get three. So for a guy like Neville, you know, got so much respect for him as a player, and mm-hmm. 10 years in the NFL is insane. So, you know, I tell the guys, hey, you can learn from somebody like that just as much as you can learn from somebody like me.
Yeah.
So it's just being open and accepting knowledge from everybody, regardless of position or, you know, the status on the team, and just showing up every day, you know, with that confidence and that belief in yourself, trying to get better every single day.
All right, I got a really important question for you.
What's
your name? Reading about you this morning coming in, I was like, read some stories that you've always been very careful with your money, smart with your money, etc. And you apparently, tell me if this is wrong, you became something of a Walmart and Target aficionado. Is that correct?
Oh my God, that's my first 2 years in the league. Yeah, that was like 1,000% correct. I didn't care. I would come to the games with like the team issue stuff every day. And they would give me a hard time. I know Kyle Juszczyk, you know, that's my brother, but we used to sit next to each other, and he would always be like, "Bro, go to the store. Go buy something for yourself." And then I rode a bike my first 2 years in the league.
Yeah, I heard about a silver bike.
Yep. I remember Johnny Holland took me to go get that bike in the summertime my rookie year. So I rode a bike for the first 2 years of my career, and definitely that's not the case now. I'll say still smart with my money, but graceful and blessed enough to make a lot more
money. So Walmart or Target? Pick a side.
I think I'm more bougie now. I like Target, man. Target, my mama calls it Tarjay.
Of course.
So,
of course.
And I think Target is where you go if you're feeling bougie. You feel like you just got, you know, your money just hit the account. Target. On the back end of the month.
I can relate.
You know what I'm saying? The back end of the month, you go to Walmart, try to get all the deals.
Yeah.
All right, lastly, before we get you out of here, you played at FAU for Lane Kiffin. Mm-hmm. Give me a Lane Kiffin story.
Oh, man, he got a million Lane Kiffin stories. You know, shoot, I'll give you a Monty Kiffin story.
Okay,
you know,
that's
R.I.P. to Monty.
Yes.
You know, somebody who I genuinely love and respect so much. You know, respect their entire family. And it was heartbreaking, you know, to know what happened to him and hear about him passing away. But I never forget, we were sitting in the office one day in the summertime when the players didn't have to be in there, but I was always up there, and he was always up there. He loved football. Obviously, everybody knows that. And we just sitting there watching film. It was a Jacksonville Jaguars, just looking at all that old Cover 2 stuff that he helped create.
Tampa 2.
Exactly. Yeah. And I just remember we sitting there chopping it up. We talking, and I'm just telling him about all my aspirations to get to the NFL, make it in the league. And I remember he had his Super Bowl ring from Tampa. And we sitting there. It was the most, like, it was very intense conversation, like very emotional, I guess. And we started crying. We got so deep into the conversation with each other. I'll never forget. He took off his Super Bowl ring, and he gave it to me. And I had that Super Bowl ring for my junior year of college. I wore it every game, like, to the walk. I had it all the way until my rookie year, the week of the Super Bowl. I went to Super Bowl as a rookie in San Francisco. We played in Miami. I remember that. But we getting down there is when I gave him back his ring.
Damn.
But it was just one of the coolest things. That's somebody, I'm from Tampa,
yeah,
and know who he is, and then to be around him, and he's like family to me. His whole family is like family to me. So it just was like just the coolest thing. So, you know, I really just, you
that's
know,
an endorsement.
Without yes. a doubt, without a doubt.
That's
just
an endorsement.
Just have so much respect and love for him, and, you know, definitely miss him for sure.
We all do.
Aziz, thank you so much for joining us. Have a great season. Best of luck the rest of camp.
Thank you, guys. Nice to meet you, too.
Yeah. You, too.
That's Aziz Alshayer, Texans linebacker, joining us here on In the Loop on Sports Radio 610 after day 4 of Texans training camp. That was our conversation with Texans linebacker Aziz Alshayer. Coming up next on In the Loop, we will go around the NFL, and we have one quarterback controversy already forming in the NFC North. That's next on Sports Radio 610.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.